M16, number 2B.
So, this illumination, I think, is very clear. Huh? Can you see? You don't say why I illumine something. Huh? I make an illumination. Huh? You have a sense that suddenly mind comes to us and brings to us a new idea. We get it as a vision. Can you see? It's a receptive sense. It's you get it. Huh? All this category here, four, is always how it comes to us, how we get it. We don't do anything to it yet in this category. So you say, well, suddenly I began to see this and that and the other. Huh? Well, from where did it come that you suddenly began to see this and that and the other? It's mind translating really the all intelligence, the all-knowing mind, to the point of the human thought, and appears in the human thought suddenly as illumination or as vision. Huh? Suddenly you say, I got that vision. Suddenly I saw. That's perhaps the best expression. Well, why did you see? Not because you wanted to see or you made something to see, but something came to you. Can you see? We are the recipient. In this category, we are always the recipient of something divine. It comes to us as that which informs. I have taken in that verb sense, informs specifically, because we had information in category two. And I wanted to bring out, say, with this one another example, that meaning is relational, which means in category two that we have to do with a universe of information, that we have an information universe. We have a universe within which all is known. All is known. Now, how does that information that come to us? It comes to us that it begins to inform us. So we put it here in a different context, to a different relationship, and say here, well, that information informs me, gives me new information. So can you see that one word, like information, you can put into two categories according to the context? Yeah? So that's why single terms are so tricky. Huh? Because they themselves don't reveal the whole. Mind comes to us here and gives insight. We receive it. It is given to us. It brings to us light. A light, and we saw the light, we say. As far as this category go for, is that clear? The attitude. Well, if we take other aspects, like that mind gives us a discovery, see, we receive a discovery. We are not ourselves discovering something in divine science. It is given to us. It comes to us as discovery. Could we have discovering category one? No. Huh? Mind is intelligence, doesn't need to discover anything. Could we have it in category two? No, because it's all-knowing, so nothing needs to be discovered anymore. Could we have it in category three? Not really, huh? Not really. Because discovery always means that we did not know before. Huh? Can you see? There's always a sense we did not know before, so therefore establishes a relationship between knowing and not knowing, and that's discovery. So we can see a discovery is always that comes to us. Therefore, everyone who would like to be used for a discovery must see that this is nothing that he can do with his human thinking. That if we want to be the channel for a discovery, we have to go to category one, two, and three. and fill our consciousness with 1, 2, and 3, and that purifies us to that sense of being transparent that the discovery can shine through. Yeah?
Yes.
See, this is important, because we think with our human brain and with a lot of study, we could discover something. We can't. A discovery comes when we are still within ourselves, when we pray and fill our thought with mind, what mind is to itself, with mind, what mind is in the whole universe, second category, how mind always manifests itself to every idea, the third category. Then we have prepared the ground for that mind to come in as vision, as information, as giving us a new idea, as discovery. Mind comes to us as wisdom. That's another one. Huh? We always had wisdom as an idea of mind. We had wisdom as the first one in the third degree. We always talked about mind as wisdom. But could wisdom be in category 1, 2, or 3? No. Huh? Because God Himself is not wisdom. You see? God Himself is intelligence. He's all-knowing. So, wisdom is actually the translation of intelligence to the point of human thinking. We have here that mind bestows capacities. Here we have to be very clear again about the context. We just can't say capacities because mind has capacities. But it is bestowing capacities to us. Again, it is a translation from the divine to the human. Again, we see that if we feel we have not certain capacities which we should need, we cannot train these capacities in a human way. What I would do if I feel I lack somewhere a capacity, whatever that capacity is, I would go to category 1, to category 2, and to category 3, and build up my consciousness in that, because that's my well of life, that's the well from which I draw. And that would act in the category 3 as the producer and the creator, and that would come to the human in category 4 as bestowing the capacities. Draw always all your abilities and faculties and capacities from the synonymous term. Don't try to build them up humanly. Always draw them from the divine. We have here that mind guides, leads, directs. Can you see again? We say so often, pray for the guidance of God, for the guidance of mind. Well, where does that happen? It's not in category 1, certainly. Mind doesn't need to guide itself. Not in category 2. Mind doesn't need to guide in the realm of mind. There everything is already there. It doesn't even need guidance in the realm of the absolute Christian science, because God doesn't guide an idea. You see? Because guidance means actually that you could be misguided, that there is an inability of knowing where to go. So it's a negative concept at the basis of guidance, and says, as I don't know where to go, as I don't know what to do, I need a higher intelligence that tells me. So it comes that intelligence, that all-knowing, that creative information comes to us as guidance. It brings to us the right idea. it helps. We have that mind helps. So it comes to us as helping. It comes to us as influence. There is no influence in the category 1, 2, and 3, because mind does not influence itself. Mind does not need to influence his universe. Mind does not need to influence its ideas, because influence means, again, that you are on the wrong track, that you are not quite sure about yourself, that you don't have all within yourself that you need. See, it's a negative problem that lies at the bottom of it and will be helped by the influx of mind into our consciousness. Mind stimulates. Well, mind doesn't stimulate itself, doesn't need to have a stimulus. Couldn't be in category 1, 2, and 3. Doesn't stimulate itself. You can't stimulate an idea. But what it can do is that we are stimulated through ideas, through mind. It is, mind is unerring. It comes to us as unerring. See, unerring is not a human capacity or faculty that we say, well, I am unerring. It's really that we go again to the whole information tank of mind in category 1, 2, and 3 and fill our consciousness with what mind is, and that translates itself to the human and say, and that is unerring, because it's the unerring intelligence in column 1, it's the unerring all-knowing in column 2, it's actually the unerring creator and creative ability of column 3 that presents itself to the human, that we feel that we have an unerring guidance. Also governs is always an idea of mind in the way that it comes to us and governs us. Here you have a very interesting point. I think we will have that govern also in principle, because we always say that governing can be either an idea of mind or an idea of principle according to the context. When we consider government as such, that it is principle. Therefore we'll find then government as such and the self-government of principle afterwards under principle, but under a different column, namely under the divine science column. So here you can see very easily how, according to the context, a term like governs and government can be used in different synonymous terms. But when they are used in different synonymous terms, they also appear in a different column.
Absolute Christian, sir.
Yes. Well, and you have self-government in the divine science column in principle. What did you want to bring out? That govern is in what?
Governance is in the third column, which is the Absolute Christian Science column in principle.
Yes. Yes, as governs, So you have self-government in the level of divine science. We will see that when it comes there, can refer back. But the moment we use govern as mind, you know, we had once in the syllabus class, we had to look up how govern is used with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And we have seen the reason for it very easily. We have seen that governs with mind is used when it is governing over something, over the human, when it governs the body. But we also had government of principle when it was shown that the inner nature of government, that government was, so to say, the relationship within a system, that a relationship within a system constitutes government. So in principle, you much more have what constitutes government than what is the activity of the government towards something. Yes. So this would be column 4. And you could see they are all ideas which are well known to us. Here now, they all indicate one relationship, namely how the divine now comes as its first contact with the human, to the human. And in what way the divine is taking on the form of the human, like intelligence taking on the form of wisdom. We come to the next column, which is one of the easiest columns here, namely, that we said column 5 is, what does it do in the realm of its suppositional opposite? So when at the point of column 4, the divine comes to the human and has come to the human in those qualities, naturally, these qualities, these divine qualities, do something to error, to the opposite. What does it do to the opposite? And here we get all those wonderful terms that we like in the level of Christian Science, because they are, so to say, the healing aspect of it, the improving aspect of it. Here we have taken that mind controls error. What does it do to error? It controls it. It regulates it. But it comes to the opposite as the medicine, which heals. So you have heals, saves, corrects. And here they are all terms that have to do with turning over, so to say, an opposite into the positive. It's the overturning and overturning that we get here. It has a great Christ touch in it here at that point. What does it do to the opposite? So here we feel that it keeps error under control, that it regulates what needs to be regulated. That mind is the medicine that heals, so it heals, saves, mind corrects. Can you see it comes in column 4 as the second last, as unerring? So if it is unerring, what does it do to error? It corrects it. So you have in the next column, corrects. So actually, you always could somehow go right back always to the category 1, and flow through. You could say, now, why does mind correct error? Why does it do? Is that just a statement, a hypothesis, and I just have to believe it? Or can we somehow reason it out, why mind corrects? And if we know that corrects is in column here 5, we know that it is not original. It's not original, but that it is the outcome of a great translation process. So we could see, oh, because in column 1, mind is intelligence as such. And therefore, that intelligence as such in column 2 is all-knowing. All-knowing. And therefore, in column 3 is that, what we have there, that which can read properly, but can only see the right idea because it's a mind reading. Therefore, it comes to us as unerring idea. It doesn't come to us anymore as error or a false concept. Thus it comes to us, that intelligence that is all-knowing and translates itself through mind-reading to us, is unerring. It corrects, in column 5, it corrects the situation. And so you have a reason for it, why mind corrects. It's no more a statement. It's now reasoned out why it is so. Then we go to the next column, 6. It's a column that says, now, if things are corrected, if therefore in the human the erroneous aspect of the human has been corrected or healed or saved, still we are human. With one treatment, we are not really lifted up as through the ascension into heaven. We know it's a step-by-step process. It's just an improved state. And so we can ask ourselves now, what new attitude is raised up in the human? Is that clear? That a new attitude is shown forth as the outcome of column 5. Because column 5 takes away something of the erroneous aspect of the human mind. And therefore, it yields much more, and something more divine comes up. Therefore, something more divine is established in the human. What is that? Now, here we find a lot of these qualities that we know, especially also from the Beatitudes or from the chapter on prayer, which really builds on these divine attitudes in the human. You have desire. So we had always desire as a quality that is in the list of mind, because the first prayer in the chapter on prayer is the prayer of true desire, the true desire to really know God as He is and not in another way, not in our way. So you have desire. Now, let's just stay for a moment with desire. Can you see that we would never find a statement in the textbook which says, mind desires? Because mind does not desire. Can you see that? That mind itself, who knows all, does not have a desire. And yet we always put desire into the category of mind. And we must find a reason for that. So, actually it was, were terms like this and a few others that always somehow, bothered me. Because we always had them. I think back right before the war we had desire as in the list of mind, and nowhere in the textbook can you deduce that textually, because mind does not desire. Mind has not the desire. And yet we have it there. And that bugged me. I remember when I prepared my notes for the syllabus class 1 and 2, when we said, let's go over again and really have it very clear, to really take it only out of the textbook and don't interpolate anything into that list. I had quite a few of such terms like desire in mind, and afterwards in spirit soul, which could not be proved through the text. And yet within our bones, we felt they belonged to mind. And as we have very good bones, we didn't discard them. We felt there must be another reason. Now here you get the reason. Here you get the reason that this is mind translated, you see, to another plane, to the plane of attitude. And therefore, the first prayer in the chapter on prayer, which we can depict as mind, is actually showing that. It's all about the true desire. The prayer of desire as the first prayer. So, this begins to show us very clearly that just that method which we used in syllabus 1 to go through the synonymous term and only take out what we can directly deduce from the synonymous term will not give us really the whole answer. Those terms mostly only gave us the answer for column 1, 2 and 3. And column 5 and a little bit of column 4, but certainly not column 6 and 7. So, but when we ask the right question, what is the attitude that must be there for mind? If we have that, then suddenly we find in the textbook that it is so. That actually she says that we need a true desire so that mind can mold and exalt our thoughts. Yes? And that, that we have to know here. And it's naturally most important, that's another point I wanted to bring out, but we must first... Is that the end of the hour?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. It's awful, yes. Well, we have still plenty of time, and the first synonymous term always takes a bit longer to get into the reason. But you get the reason. Sure, huh? Very definitely. Okay.